Also in local news, folks, so we tied in the missile launches and talked about Austell and a little bit of the background there. But shifting over to the Baldwin County Board of Education school board race, which is starting to hot up, as they say in the UK, right? But it is heating up. And so, interestingly, talking with Moms for Liberty this week, Carrie Hosier has declared her candidacy for Baldwin County School Board District 2 out of Daphne, running against Andrea Lindsay.
Spell her name, please.
Hosier?
Yes.
It's H-O-S-I-E-R. Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E. Last name, Hosier, H-O-S-I-E-R.
Yeah, thanks.
Yep. And she actually has a website up, so you can search that up, as my boys say. You know, go to your favorite search engine and just search on Carrie Hosier, H-O-S-I-E-R, and do the read up on her. We are going to try and get her on and do a few minutes with her here on the show in a future meeting. And this is also good news in that what we do know about her is that she is a strong advocate for our children and for accountability in the school system, which is sorely needed. You know, this is also, you know, another good friend of ours, Ken Bradley, is declared for District 1. Mike Johnson, who is a pharmacist, has decided not to run for re-election to the school board. And so Ken Bradley, who is a good friend for Friends of Liberty here in Baldwin, you know, up in North Baldwin, Bay Minette area, is declared for the District 1 seat to replace Mike Johnson.
Yeah, Ken knows how to get things done with and through other people. He's very, very good at that. Extremely bright guy. Very energetic.
Civil engineer, U.S. Military Academy graduate,
very
West Point.
Yep. Very energetic. Yep. Has created a real job and has provided work and jobs for many other people, too. I'm surprised he has the time to do this, but it just reflects his dedication. So yep. Three cheers. Four cheers. Nah, what the heck? Five cheers for Ken Bradley.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, you know, it's so good to see another qualified candidate, you know, declare for the school board in Daphne to give Andrea Lindsay the much-needed boot. Just to give you an idea about our experience with Andrea Lindsay. So back during COVID, she was one of the really vicious voices on the board advocating for masks on our kids, did not want to listen to reason, was advocating, especially behind closed doors, for vaccination, mandatory vaccination of our kids throughout Baldwin County. She was one of the chief architects, along with Janae Dawson and others on the board. Janae Dawson, who has since been booted off the board as well, who were trying to not just vaccinate our kids, but who succeeded. Now, they wouldn't issue a mandate, right? They never issued an actual mandate, but they brought in, instead of doing that, they did the next best thing, which was turn up the heat on our teachers and our staff members in Baldwin County to put the pressure on them to get vaccinated, and then brought in USA Health into our schools with these vaccine clinics to make sure that all of our teachers and staff were vaccinated against COVID. And the narrative that they were using at the time, and anybody that was paying attention could tell that it was a complete load of whitewash, was that the kids were going to be a vector to kill these teachers, right? That literally, that's the fear that they were using to drive a lot of these efforts. I mean, we laugh now, Judd, right?
Yeah,
but it wasn't. It was so egregious and so sad that we had to, you couldn't help but stand up and call it, you know, what it was. And so one of the things that we did there was what shut down the board, and Andrea Lindsay could not stand this when we did it, was we went, it took us months, a special meeting to finally get them to get the mask off of our kids, which was a complete joke. It's still, that video, by the way, is still up, and it's one of the most watched videos on Baldwin County Board of Education's YouTube channel, is that special session from August 2021. But then also the following 4, 5, 6 months that it took us to to get them to say publicly that they were not going to mandate the vaccine for our children here in Baldwin County Public Schools. It was unbelievable that they would not, given the evidence, and we were providing them with reams of evidence of the dangers of the vaccine and the people that were dropping dead and had been all during 2021, thousands of people, that they still wanted to put a needle in every arm. And the reason why this is important is because, imagine, like, the speaker before, like, for instance, Dr. Liu or myself would get up at the Board of Education meeting, and we would have our 3 minutes to speak. The teachers union rep would get up, and they would ask for more money. And this was after the school board had already voted to give teachers, you know, bonuses, you know, for and again, I'm paraphrasing here, but risking their lives for going into the classroom during COVID. It was just unbelievable union shenanigans. It was just unbelievable what they did to continue to fleece the taxpayer. And they used COVID funds, federal COVID funds, to pay those bonuses. And I want to be clear, it's not that I don't think teachers don't deserve that. They certainly do. We should be paying them much more. Go to Japan and look at what teachers earn over there, and then look at what we're paying our teachers here. Look at the respect that teachers command in Japan versus, you know, what they receive here. And you understand where I come from, which is a place of deep care, concern, and love for our teachers and the great job that they do. But the teachers union is evil. And when you look at the actions of some of our board members back in 2021, 2022, where Andrea Lindsay, in particular, if you look at the December 2021 session of the board, became viscerally angry with me, almost jumped off the platform to shut me up when I started naming names of teachers, Baldwin County teachers, that had died suddenly and unexpectedly at that point. You know, Josh Hall from Mathis Elementary over in Foley. You know, since then we've had, you know, Coach Jody Jones over at Fairhope East, 51 years old, die of turbo cancer. You know, all of these things now strongly suspected, if not proven, to be deadly side effects of the vaccine. And so it's very, very important that we talk about these things. And we're gonna play a video, a video. You'll get the audio of it right now, which is New Zealand Member of Parliament Liz Gunn this week with a shocking announcement. Listen to this, folks.
Embarrassing toenail.
Well, first we have to skip the embarrassing toenail fungus ad, which did not warn me was there.
I didn't know that there are sponsors.
All right.
I'm Liz Gunn, and welcome to this New Zealand Loyal post-election update, the first of two election updates. In my previous video, just before the election went ahead, I stated that I would, straight after the election, release information that would shock you, the mother of all revelations, more. There were many demanding that the information be released before the election, but that was not able to be facilitated. The whistleblower's words to us were that it would be published after the election. I also had deep concerns around the trauma the information would cause on the eve of the election, and to me it felt unethical to exploit such traumatic information for our own political gain. Well, we have now come to an undisclosed location with a New Zealand clinician mathematician who is very experienced in statistical analysis. That person has, with us, reviewed the data and confirms our position that it is damning. The figures show that there are tens of thousands of deaths linked to the jabs. And this is just one of the sites recording this type of information in New Zealand. We don't know how many further databases like this are in the country. So it follows that as the deaths are usually less than the numbers of side effects, then the extrapolation of the numbers of injured and dead Kiwis starts to become, frankly, eye-watering. We saw in the data that there are many clusters of deaths, people who attended the same jab site and were jabbed one after the other at consecutive times on the same day. We saw their jab date. We saw their date of death. Let me give you just one of many examples. On one day, 30 people were jabbed on the same day at the same location. All are now deceased. And their deaths are in close temporal time proximity to each other. That's 30. That's all players in a rugby match on the field suddenly dead. You see, statistically, the numbers of deaths we saw cannot be attributed to natural causes given same site and same date of vaccination. It would be, what they say statistically, highly unlikely. We are calling for an inquiry. Not just any inquiry, a full-blown criminal investigation leaving no stone unturned. New Zealand is a crime scene. Computers of anyone associated with this COVID response rollout in any capacity, mobile phones, communications, bank accounts, archives, and a whole host of other targeted information must be seized. We have OIA evidence, Official Information Act evidence, that the government knew every side effect before one single jab was given in New Zealand. So, this evidence lays waste to the safe and effective narrative. It also underlines the gravity and enormity of what I have just stated in this statement. The OIA evidence we have is attached underneath this post on the nzloyal.org.nz site. But there's one thing for sure. There should be no more jabs administered in this country. So many lives.
All right, folks. So there you have it. You have a sitting member of the New Zealand Parliament, and not just any member. Liz is the head of New Zealand Loyal, which is one of the groups that make up the parliament, and so she's a leader in the parliament. And I want to be clear, we would play it again if we had the time. You can find it online, or you can send me a note, or Lori, and we can send you a link to it. But think about what she just said. 30 out of 30 people that visited a clinic in one day, and this is one day of many days of recorded data that she has access through a whistleblower. She has access to those data through a whistleblower. And the whistleblower is a highly experienced clinician. Okay, this person clearly knows what they're doing. But as part of their record, 30 out of 30 people who visited that clinic on that day are all now dead.
Deke, think of this. And listeners, think of this. If those jabs were administered with an AR-15 rather than a syringe, and those people died within, the same period of time, that would be a global story that the communist left and feudalism 2.0 New World Order people would never cease to repeat and highlight.
That's right. Well, folks, just to kind of underscore this point, I want to share one other thing with you, which is unbelievable, but sadly too believable in this date and time. So, you've heard us talk about Dr. William Mackus, who is a MD and oncologist practicing in Alberta, Canada, and very sharp. He survived. He was a communism survivor, came over, left Czechoslovakia as a young boy when he was 9, and landed in Canada, worked hard to earn his medical license, and the government under Trudeau has tried to strip him of that, including, of all places, the Alberta government and the medical licensing board in Alberta also attacking him and trying to strip him of his license. But the reason why this is important is because Dr. Mackus publishes a daily COVID intel blog on Substack, and I highly recommend it. You can get the unpaid version or the paid version. But just this week, shortly after we received that video from New Zealand, Dr. Mackus publishes an article titled "Children Ages 0 to 12 Who Died After COVID-19 mRNA Vaccine." 8-year-old Yonatan Moshe Ehrlichman, son of an Israeli doctor, had cardiac arrest in the bathtub and died on September 28th, 2023. And he goes on to list 68 children under the age of 12 dead following COVID vaccination. So the reason why this is important is, and that we will continue talking about this, is because there must be accountability. This is the elephant in the room, and what we've had over the last couple of years, and it's all purposeful, is that you've got this leftist push, the socialist Marxist push across every aspect of our society, every aspect, to keep us off balance and distracted. The wars without end, which certainly serve the depopulation agenda, but then also, and oh, by the way, they're scalable, right? But most importantly, it's meant to distract us from the big agenda, which is population control. And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, all the things you mentioned are what I would call shiny objects.
Absolutely. Bright, shiny objects. Thank you, Judd. And so when we talk about the unbelievable news, which has been suspected, but no one has come forward here in the United States with that type of a ledger that shows 30 out of 30, two and a half years post jab, all dead. And again, I want to be clear and make this discernment, is that what Liz said in her video is that 13 of those children were dead. Now, I'm not sure whether she was referencing 13 of those 30 were vaccinated on that day in that clinic and 13 of the 30 were dead. That seems like a lot of kids coming into a clinic, you know, on a day to get vaccinated. But at that, you know, she did mention that she had seen 13 children, the deaths of 13 children also dead post-vax. And that's important because, one, kids don't need the vax. They are the least affected by COVID. And we, you know, the government was telling us that, oh no, you know, just like here in Baldwin County, you know, and this, again, tying in the narrative, right, is that, oh, you know, these kids are vectors for disease and they're going to kill these teachers. These teachers are risking their lives when they go in the classroom because these kids, these unvaccinated kids. Well, now we know that the vaccine doesn't protect anybody anyway, right? Doesn't protect anybody anyway. And now you're saying that the vaccine that you took and doesn't protect me and that you're trying to force on us and our kids, it was all just an absolute lie.
Dick, so remind us, in a sane world where pharmacy companies actually produced vaccines 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago, after a long period of a trial period, if one this is talking about 30 kids here, if one kid out of some X thousand of people die, then that particular vaccine is not allowed into the market.
Well, look at the swine flu vaccine in 1976 and the absolute disaster that was, and it affected. It had been rolled out by Big Pharma in 75, 76, and it killed 25 people and sickened hundreds, maimed them. And after 25 deaths, they pulled it off the market. Congress forced them to pull it off the market, and 2 years later, the company was out of business. And that's exactly what should happen. Now, we don't have time here in the time that we have today, and it's a long story, but another fascinating read is to go back and look at the highly questionable and destructive rollout of the polio vaccine, you know, which was heralded under Jonas Salk, right? But it was an absolute disaster for Eisenhower in the 1950s and then also early on in the Kennedy administration, where they were having to run damage control because the polio vaccine was killing people in droves. sickened, maimed. I think, and again, I'll have to go back and check my source on this, but I'm almost positive it was upwards of 40,000 people, which back then it would be like 400,000 today. Okay, it was just, the numbers are unbelievable. So look, what we're looking for here, and one of the reasons why we continue to talk about this is because it all ties in, just like what's going on over in the Middle East ties back to Hostel, and what the Chinese, you know, weapon systems being you know, proofed years ago against a U.S., you know, former U.S. darling, you know, the Swift, and she was struck and burned out as a Hulk and never sailed again, and it led to the retirement of the LCS class, right? And now we've got, you know, a candidate declared for Baldwin County Board of Education District 2 running against Andrea Lindsay, who was a cheerleader for the vaccines and showed her true colors on the die, on the platform, and tried to limit Dr. Liu's speech, tried to limit my speech, you know, my practice of my First Amendment right to free speech on a political issue on my time in front of the school board. She could not shut me up fast enough when I started naming names. They're, because they were terrified of litigation. And when we came out with the unbelievable statistics, you could have heard a pin drop in that room when I told them that we had gone to talk to the private schools in Baldwin County about their absentee rates during COVID when they hadn't masked and they hadn't had the shot and they didn't mandate it, versus Baldwin County Public Schools numbers, absentee numbers, and why school board, the teachers union, was going to ask for more days off, more paid time off, more money from the school board, and yet the private schools just kept on trucking. How can that be, Lori? How can it be that private schools, similar of size and number, just a few miles down the road from Baldwin County, from a Baldwin County public school, had a mere 2.54% absentee rate during COVID among their teachers and staff? And Baldwin, we couldn't even get the board to tell us what their numbers were, but you can bet what we heard from insiders was it was north of 20%. 20%, one in five teachers and staff could not go to work after getting the shot. And we know that certain among them, like Dr. Wanda Logan over at Fairhope West, after she got the shot, she had to retire suddenly and unexpectedly because it attacked her central nervous system and she could no longer function. Okay, so there must be accountability. So let's talk about that in the time we have left here, okay?
Dick, I just want to say, you mentioned something that's absolutely true about teachers' unions. Any union related to the, quote, educational enterprise, which is, you know, a complete joke. It isn't education. It is an enterprise. But these unions have morphed into organizations that are just like the Teamsters Union in the bad old days of the Teamsters Union. The Teamsters Union didn't mean that you had every truck driver agreed with them. They just paid their dues and then were told to shut up.
That's right.
It's the same thing with the teachers unions. The teachers, by and large, do not support this hideous stuff.
That's right.
And I just want to make sure that the listeners understand that we're not saying teachers union equals all teachers. Mm-mm. At all.
Thank you, Judd. It's a very important point. And it again, underscores what I said a few minutes ago about the fact that we absolutely love and support our teachers. And I want to be clear, you know, certain members of the board, you know, and certainly, you know, Eddie Tyler loves Baldwin County and he loves our kids and he cares deeply about his teachers and staff. We know he does, but he's in charge. And what did the Marines say about being in charge, Judd, and accountability and responsibility?
Yeah, it's all on you.
It is. And so, you know, what we're really asking for here as we shape this issue and we do issue development on this is we want a public accounting on the numbers, the amount of federal funding that was paid to Baldwin County Public Schools. We know as the number three size school district in the state of Alabama that they received north of, are you ready for this, Lori? How much money do you think they got out of the CARES Act, Baldwin County Public Schools?
Oh, $50 million.
It was north of $80 million. $80 million. And this is on top of more federal
gravy. What's the problem with that?
Well, the challenge is, the problem with that is that those funds, those federal funds, were tied by legislation to county boards of education adhering to COVID mandates. Okay, things like masking. They had to prove through correspondence and documentation, communications, that they were supporting universal masking in schools.
In other words, it's a bribe.
Absolutely, it's a bribe. And so this also gets back, folks, to the root problem, the absolutely root problem in our public education system and why school choice is so important, is just look at the corruption, and it is corruption. When a federal government not accountable to Lori or Judd or Deke at the micro level, okay, and yes, you know, you can say that some bureaucracy has to answer to our congressman, but our congressman is one of one, okay? And this is the disaster that we live in right now, which is that it doesn't matter whether it's woke LGBTQ nasty dirty books showing up in our libraries, or the rainbow flag being forced on our kids in a approved curriculum called My New American Flag over at Fairhope East, or limits on free speech. Okay, the problem is that it all ties back to, in their curriculum development and the policies and procedures that they put in place during COVID, tied back to the CARES Act and the way that regulation was written, and that you only get the money if you can prove that you're enforcing vaccine mandates or masking mandates, and then that you're taking action to require vaccines among staff and teachers and students, or to at least encourage it.
The other aspect is more money never leads to better results. All they do in these school districts is simply fiddle with the measurements and lower them so they can say, oh, we're succeeding.
I just have to play the devil's advocate here, because I'm a journalist. Mm. And when a school board responsible for the public the safety of our children is faced with an unknown and an unprecedented event, they're going to proceed with the guidelines recommended by what we used to trust as the CDC and our government. And then as the information comes out, those changes can be made. That's my opinion.
Well, and Lori, thank you for that. It's important that, you know, we welcome the diversity of discourse and dialogue here, right? And that's how we sharpen the sword, as we say, steel sharpens steel. So let's talk about that real quick in the minute that we have, is that you can say that they were acting in the best interest of our teacher, staff, and students, and that the government said so. But Lori, the most important word that you used right there is trust, and we're going to do a whole show at some point on the social contract is broken.
Yes.
Because COVID, if you didn't believe that it was fractured before, COVID certainly did. And when you listen to that report, that whistleblower report from a sitting member of parliament in the New Zealand parliament, and they're talking about whistleblower evidence and calling for an inquiry, we are going to do the same thing right here on the show. And so the evidence is there. We have seen excess deaths surging here in the United States among young people, every age group. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to mirror that member of parliament's call. We're gonna ask for a full criminal inquiry, and here in the States, in our form of law, that's going to be through grand jury procedures, most likely. But you know, talk to Judge Wilters, okay, the Baldwin County DA. Let him know what you think. You know, ask for, you know, an update on what he and his office are doing to investigate these unexplained deaths, and when are we going to convene a grand jury proceeding to begin looking for, you know, for responsibility and accountability in these matters. It's so important, folks. We have to have it, because otherwise you've got people walking around in your community that basically wanted you and yours dead. These people must be called out in the light. they must be held accountable. And a lot of people down here, you know, the way that we are, we love our neighbors, and you don't want to go and call out maybe it's your family member or your neighbor or someone that you've known for 30 years. But, you know, just like Andrea Lindsay showing her true colors, you know, baring her fangs and claws at Dr. Liu and myself back in December of 2021, you know, that some of them showed us their colors early, and we need to hold them accountable. So we'll do that again on another show, folks. Thank you so much, Lori. Over to you.
Oh, thank you. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review, brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne on 98 and in Malbus on 181 with the state-of-the-art car wash. If you missed part of this program or you'd like to tell a friend, you can listen to it later at WABF1480.com. The views and opinions of this program do not necessarily reflect those of this station or management. Now resuming regular programming.